Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Founders Grid sponsored by Gaper.io. Today we have Julia. Julia is the recruiting manager at Robert Half. Julia, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here today.
So prior to joining Robert Half, can you share a brief background about yourself, what you've been doing?
Sure. So I initially started out my career in marketing. Robertson Langer was an advertising agency in New York City. We worked on brands like Lubriderm and Hunter Douglas, Neutrogena. And then I had moved on to be part of McCarr. I had a family at that point. And so I needed to come closer to home and I live in New Jersey. So McCarr was an opportunity for me to really build a business, develop a business, understand the inner workings operationally, in addition to marketing. And, you know, we looked at people and process and product. It was a great learning experience. Really my passions lie more within the marketing space. So I then went to BOC Partners, which was an advertising firm, a smaller advertising firm, where I got to go back into the marketing space and back into the advertising space. And my time there was great. But then I moved again at that point, just to kind of broaden up my wings a little bit. Robert Half is a staffing agency. And so I decided to go through Robert Half to find my next opportunity. And while I was talking to them, they had noticed that I did have a business development background and asked me if I wanted to work for them, which is quite interesting, right? I kind of took a leap of faith and said, you know what, why not? And it ended up working very well. I love what I do. I love the recruiting space. I love working with people. And, 3 years later, I'm still here and hopefully be here for a long time.
All right, guys. So and trying to make the conversation much more relevant towards today's time, almost a year now, since 11 months now since COVID, and many industries have changed or the working styles have changed. How has it affected the recruiting industry and what changes you needed to adapt to?
Sure. So, traditionally, most companies were very on-site kind of companies where they really needed the employee to be in the workspace and collaborate in that kind of form. Once COVID hit, we just could no longer do that anymore. So a lot of the traditional companies that were really, you must be on site, were almost forced into this new remote work from home kind of lifestyle. We noticed at first when this happened early in March of 2020, we just experienced a freeze throughout the entire business, nationally, specifically in the US, but there was no hiring. People were not really sure what was going to happen. And then, 1 month passed, 2 months passed, 3 months passed. And in order to continue to conduct business, we just needed to figure out how to just go with the time, so to speak. So at that point, onboarding new employees was a thing of, we were looking at technologies. We were looking at employees that, needed to get back to work. A lot of them had been let go or furloughed due to the virus. So in order to continue to conduct business and to work, there were all these new methodologies that were implemented and born because of the COVID, virus. So now people have been, as I said, onboarding new employees. The hiring process has started again. We just have to kind of continue and moving forward. So now we're realizing that, it wasn't as bad as we thought. And in a way, now we actually have access to a much wider network of talent, because traditionally, as we had discussed, everybody was on site. People were commuting maybe 30, 45 minutes to work. And really you were limited to that kind of talent pool. But once you open up the gates to remote talent, you know, you can really find a rock star that's not necessarily within a 45-minute commute, but, you know, maybe in a different state, sometimes in a different country. So it really helps businesses remain super competitive, especially because now you have access to a much wider talent, you know, talent pool.
Got it. And in regards to the adaptability of the customers and, you know, different time zones, adaptability or the comfort level, what are your thoughts on that?
We thought that we would meet some resistance, you know, with an Eastern Standard Time Zone client, you know, usually they would like for somebody to come from Eastern Standard Time. But again, you know, we could work with Central Time, we can work with Mountain Time, we could work with Pacific Time. And we're seeing that there's more and more flexibility as long as the person that is coming on board is willing to work the hours of the person, you know, the company that they're working for. We're seeing that there's much more open, you know, as long as you plan and organize your day correctly, you know that, you know, you're working on an Eastern time zone and, you know, you're located in Pacific time. You know, we're seeing more and more of that just being more acceptable these days.
Got it. So, which brings me to my next question in regards to, you know, if you just think of it last year in March and April, it was an uncertain time. Everyone was fearful and things like that, you know, so everyone just wanted to be in their comfort zone near their loved ones. Then after that was settling in, then the next fear factor that was coming in was the job securities and everything, you know. Then the mental transition started happening is where everyone started in June, July, August, everyone started feeling team burnouts because at home, you know, spaces are limited in New York or San Francisco, spaces and apartments are limited, you know, you cannot go out. So the burnouts were happening. So many individuals or companies started adapting different strategies. So can you share some examples that your clients adopted the strategies so that the mental burnouts can be done or
sure.
Addressed, the problems can be addressed and stuff?
Absolutely. I completely agree. There was a time, and I would say for me, even personally, you know, come maybe July, August, even as you know, at September at that point as well, you know, that's when you really did start feeling the burnout. Employees are on Zoom call after Zoom call after Zoom call. And we started noticing that companies have actually been privy to this as well. They're understanding what's going on. They're really focused on mental health these days. So some companies started implementing, you know, mental health Fridays, for example, where the employee only works half a day, or running different contests, you know, in the sales capacity, for example, you know, and those contests include maybe, you know, take a work day on or take a day off on Monday or take a day off on Friday. Zoom meetings as well have been condensated to, you know, say a Zoom meeting was a 30-minute meeting. We're noticing that those 30-minute meetings are now becoming 15-minute meetings. We're getting, you know, directly to the point, and experiencing hopefully a lot less fatigue around the Zoom call, which has been great to see because, you know, I think that employers are very, very privy to what's going on. And the last thing they want to do already on top of everything being so difficult is burn out their employees.
Got it. So now from in regards, so, okay. My next, sorry, so since being in staffing and other things myself, you know, I have so many questions, but, you know, since I need to pick it within 12 minutes, I'm just going through my head, which one to pick, which one.
So okay.
The next question is, you know, the vaccine is out, it's being administered, and hopefully we're at the end of the COVID, you know, hopefully the vaccine.
Hope so.
Working again, working well against all the variants, and you know, hopefully, it's the end of COVID. So going forward, you know, the old world, you know, like we used to remember. Mm-hmm. You think that is something which the companies would want to go to, or would it be something of a hybrid model, or would it be a totally remote model? You know, what are your thoughts on that?
I think that's a great question. So we've been seeing a little bit of everything. I'll just bring you back to the beginning of COVID, when everybody was, you know, still pretty happy about the remote situation. We've seen a shift since then. We've seen people, and especially, for example, even just in staffing, we miss that people real time connection. Something as simple as going to lunch with your coworkers. These are all things that really fulfill us. So we're going back from people really requesting 100% remote work to now maybe 2 days in the office or 3 days in the office, and the rest work from home. So the hybrid model has been remaining really strong. We don't see that happen leaving anytime soon. You know, when we take in positions for our employers, we notice that, you know, we definitely ask, what is your COVID on-site policy at the moment, and what will it look like once COVID is no longer a threat? I would say 80 to 90% of those positions are all entertaining hybrid models, you know, for the rest of time. Robert Half, for example, has given the freedom for their employees to work remotely, basically forever. I personally probably wouldn't do that. I miss seeing my coworkers. I miss being able to get out of the house. So I'd probably entertain a hybrid model. And I'm finding that a lot of the candidates that I'm speaking to also feel the same exact way. So, you know, we need the human element. We need the human interaction. But now, you know, people are, okay, come into the office maybe once a week, maybe once a quarter. It really does depend on the company and the situation, but that also allows for employees to be okay now traveling an hour and a half to work. So it's changed what they're willing to do as far as a commute as well, which is interesting. You know, whereas if they were going to the office 5 days a week, they would not be considering an hour and a half worth of a commute. But if you only have to go once every 3 months, then maybe a 2 hour commute is something that you're willing to consider. So it's been interesting to see how that's shifted. But I think the hybrid model will remain very, very strong and something that both employer and candidates will continue to want in the future.
So last question in regards to your own personal productivity, you know, what changes you've brought to your own personal life or routine that helps you to be saner day by day, you know, work more efficiently and productively? What things have you done?
Sure. Well, Mustafa, I will promise you that I did not have a good grip of any of this when the virus first started. I am a mother of a very active 6-year-old boy who is homeschooling.
So I can correlate, you know, and I just, before your podcast, I kicked his ass, you know, it can go on record. I kicked his ass in Monopoly. He was heartbroken.
I mean, my little one is downstairs right now taking a Zoom class as well. So, you know, we have to just make it work. What helps is really understanding and figuring out a schedule, taking time out, both him and I, to really kind of decompress, whether it's like a lunchtime where we both sit down together and we'll talk about things for 20, 30 minutes at a time, or, you know, doing simple tasks, you know, at home. If I will work into my day 20 minute, 10 minute, 15 minute breaks throughout the day, because I understand that I need to help him. Well, you know, he's going to school as well. And then another thing is to be completely transparent with your employer and say, hey, this is a situation I have at home. If it's not something that is a complete rush that, you know, has a timestamp where we need to get those things in, you know, maybe I will put my son to bed and continue to work from 9 p.m., 11 p.m., sometimes midnight. It's just the new world order these days until they go back to complete 100% on-site school learning, but really having an organized kind of schedule, and that schedule can change day to day as well, but trying really hard to stick to some sort of structured schedule to be able to multitask and get everything done has helped me tremendously. And believe me, it took me quite some time to get it figured out 9 to 10 months later.
Got it. Julia, I'm pretty sure we could have talked for another 40 minutes, but we'll have to end the podcast. We can discuss things offline, but thank you so much for being on the show. Take care of yourself and stay safe.
You too. You take care, Mufa. Thank you so much.